like I said, we read the word, we hear the gospel, and anytime someone comes to accept Christ, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. I'm going to give you just a brief, just a little story. The whole reason for this is just to, there's a lot going on. The Lord's moving hearts. He's moving in a powerful way. And for us to just be alert and be aware. You've heard me share, and I gave one of the messages I talked about, a gentleman named Bill Wright. And I said that, he's number one in Virginia. He's Harvard, top of Harvard Law School, Oxford Scholar. And he said all that was important was to read the scriptures. Everything was in the Bible. The Bible will tell you everything to do. You should read every morning. God will tell you what to do. God told him to go to, he's a lawyer, and God told him to go to China and start a law firm and to minister to the people in leadership. Now, I mean, how many of you start a law firm in the United States? Okay, I mean, that's a big deal. He went to China and started a law firm, fluent in Chinese, started a law firm, and he is there now ministering to the Chinese, okay? And so it's like, that's amazing, that's amazing. Here is the guy, I want just a short testimony, real short, the guy who mentored him, the guy who mentored Bill Wright. And again, this is an interesting story. And this man's name was Frank Jean. And I guess that's his American name because he's Chinese. And he's a Chinese Buddhist. And in late 1930s or whatever, the Japanese invaded China. If you remember that, read about that. The Japanese invaded China. And in fact, our book study is about a missionary that was there at that time and actually died in a Japanese concentration camp in China. But so the Japanese invade China, and so Frank Jean is a Buddhist monk. He's a Buddhist monk. Young man is a Buddhist monk. And now he told me this. I know this man. This is not secondhand information. And he said, I determined that I couldn't meditate my way out of this. I guess it took the Japanese army to say, no, this ain't working. And so he fled, and he was seeking God. There's God, and there's some truth. He couldn't, so he's Buddhist. He's raised Buddhist. And I'll try to make this quick. So what he did, he looked into different things, and Christianity was very appealing to him. This is just what he said. Christianity was very appealing to him. And he saw Christ and what Christ did, and that was appealing as he studied it. And he said, but he wasn't impressed with Christians at all. So that's a kind of a bad testimony, I guess, for Christians. But he liked the idea of Christ and stuff. And so one day, and he's in China, and he said, God, I don't know what to do. I know you're there, but I don't know what the truth is. I don't know what to do. And he said, this is in China, and a man came to his door soon after that and knocked on the door. And it was an Englishman, man from England. He knocked on his door, and he said, are you Frank Jean? He said, yes, I am. He says, God told me to come and tell you about salvation through Jesus Christ. He said, that got my attention. He said, that got my attention. And he walked in, and he went over, went through the gospel, shared salvation through Jesus Christ, prayed with Frank Jean to receive Christ, and he left. He never saw him again. And then Frank Jean had a tremendous ministry. He mentored Bill Wright, as I said before, plus many more. Now, the whole point is, the message was on resurrection. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and he's working today. He is working today. And we have the word. We have the word, and the word speaks to us. And you can be, see, some people, you have to be as hard-headed as Ray, but he will get there. He's okay. All right, Ray, I'll go an extra step. Or Frank Jean says, this doesn't make sense. I don't like the way. All right, you need some. I'll go there. So God is alive. God is alive. So what we're going to look at this morning is the resurrection. So with that, we'll let the children go to their classes. Let me pray while they're going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are a risen Savior. You are a risen Savior. That you love us more than we could ever imagine. And that we have a home in heaven because of you. So, Lord, we want this service to be honoring to you. We want this service to be focused upon you. And I pray you'd anoint me to only speak truth, only speak words led by the Spirit, and each heart would be open. So we just thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24 and start in verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. Now, where we're going to start here is that the women go to Jesus' tomb. The women are going to Jesus' tomb. No one expected the resurrection. This is nobody expected resurrection. In fact, Jesus and all their hopes died. That's the way they looked at it. Jesus and all their hopes in him died. And these ladies go to the tomb after 3 days after his death. Luke 24, 1. And just if you have a Bible, follow along, but I'll just read this through you, to you from Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared for his burial. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed down their faces to the ground, the men said to them, now listen to this, and the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, and it was Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women. With them were told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he looked in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went away marveling, bewildered at what had happened. So here it is, the resurrection. Now, I think, do you know what to... I'm going to ask you, because you wouldn't know. Do you know what today is? Today, this Sunday, it has been 1 year since we started in Luke. Last year, this Sunday, started in Luke. 1 year. Now, Jesus' ministry was only 3 years. Okay, I mean, so I gave it a shot. 1 year here. So it's only three. So it's been 1 year in Luke. And you, I think it's interesting because you start off in the miraculous birth and the unbelievable things that happened. And so 1 year later, here we are. Here we are, and we're at the resurrection. Last week, we looked at the crucifixion. And this year, we're at the resurrection. So 1 year to get to this point, and I mean, and as you well know, I mean, as we go through Luke, which to me was just fabulous, to things we saw and the things we looked at, and we just scratched the surface. I mean, you just have to admit, we just scratched the surface. But the lessons that God taught us through the book of Luke. Now, we're looking at the resurrection, and that's where we want to focus on. This is where we are. 1 year preaching, 3 years ministry, and this is where it is, the resurrection, right now. All this is central. Now, the resurrection is central to our Christian faith. Without the resurrection, Christians are the most pitiful people on earth. If no resurrection, we are sacrificing the pursuits of this world for an eternity that doesn't exist. All right. Listen to these verses. The Apostle Paul, this is what he says. 1 Corinthians, I have an overhead here. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 and 19. And he says this, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Without the resurrections, Christianity is a joke. Okay, it is of no purpose whatsoever. There is no power behind it. There is no message behind it. There is nothing behind Christianity without the resurrection. All the good stuff in it and all the positive things and all the good way of living. You know, some people, "Oh, I love the way Christians are good way of living." You don't believe in the resurrection. It amounts to nothing. And so the resurrection is key. Resurrection is key to our Christian faith. Centers around our Christian faith. I had, and you, most of you know my, a lot of you know my testimony, and I came the way to know the Lord a little different way. I read through the Bible one time. I wasn't church, didn't go to church, but I read through the Bible, came to know the Lord, that he was my Savior just by reading the Bible, not going to church. Which, okay, that's a little different, okay? That's not the way a lot, most people, but that's what happened to me. I didn't know anything, but for several reasons, I read the Bible and I came to accept Christ as my Savior. Never been to church. So I thought, well, maybe most of these folks that call themselves Christians, they go to church. So I thought, well, I told Linda, I says, we're going to go to church. It's Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. And I said, well, we'll go to church. Since we didn't know where to go. We were in Los Angeles, which is another story. But we're in Los Angeles, so we just drove around looking for a steeple. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I knew to go by. So we found the steeple and went in on Easter Sunday. And the preacher in the message told me not to get hung up on the resurrection because it wasn't that important. That's my first message. And my thought was, now I didn't know anything, but I had read the Bible. And I thought, that ain't right. That's not right. And I couldn't understand, like, he had a degree, seminary degree. But I'm thinking, that's not right. I think I know more than you do, which really disturbed me because I knew nothing, you know. So I was really disturbed. And so I left the resurrection. And he said, well, I was wrong about this church deal. So we didn't go for, you know, years after that. You know, it's like, gosh. But he was wrong. But he's telling people it's not that big a deal. No, it is everything. There is no Christianity without the resurrection. So, and what we see in the scriptures, we're going to see the same thing, that it was seeing and observing the resurrected Christ that changed the disciples. The disciples were with Jesus for 3 years, preaching, okay? And they learned, you know, and they did a lot of great things, but they didn't get the whole picture. They couldn't ever pull it all together. And in fact, when he told them, "I'm going to be crucified and raised from the grave," I don't believe it. They didn't believe it. And when he was crucified, it's like, oh my God, we're dead, we're gone. They thought it was over. It's over. What changed them? They saw the resurrected Christ. Resurrection is everything in the Christian faith. Everything. And the Apostle Paul covers this beautifully. He covers this beautifully because the apostles were locked in a room because they thought, okay, we're in trouble. I love Thomas. I didn't have this note, but I still love Thomas. That once, hey, we saw the risen Lord. He said, no. I won't believe unless I stick my hand in the hole in his side and stick my finger in the holes in his hand. No. See? And then Jesus appeared to him. He said, Thomas, stick your hand into my side. Stick your finger. And he goes, oh, my God, my Lord. I mean, that's a good comment. I mean, he covered all the deity right there. Oh, my God, oh, my Lord. He covered all the Greek words for Almighty God. You know about that. So here we are. So we see it's the resurrected Lord that makes the difference, not the dead Lord. All right. So what we're going to look at here is, and I'm just going to read this, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 has a lot about the resurrection. But I just want to read this section because it gives us a good view of the disciples' view of the resurrection and the impact of the resurrection. So the Apostle Paul is speaking. Now this is about 55 A.D. So Jesus died 30 A.D. So this is 50. So this is about 25 years later. Okay? So this is close to the point when this letter was written. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture." Now listen. "And he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive." It's 25 years ago. Most of these guys are still alive. So they know. "He appeared more than 500 at one time. Most of these are still alive, though some of them have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James." James, it's Jesus' half-brother. You know, family's tough. "He appeared to James," that's Jesus' half-brother. "Then to all the apostles." Now, I love this verse here. "Then to all the," it just said he appeared to all the apostles. Now, he said then he appeared to all the apostles because there were more apostles than the 12. He called certain people to go, like Barnabas and Silas, and there were other people. He appeared to those guys and sent them on their mission. "Then he appeared to all the disciples," apostles, I mean, all the apostles. Paul says, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." He said, "He appeared to me, even to me." So what we have is the resurrection. The resurrection is huge. It's life-changing. And it's a representative that Jesus is alive today. And if he's alive today, then that means he impacts us today. Okay? He's doing stuff today. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. It didn't end at the cross. It just exploded at the cross. Went worldwide. Worldwide. And what I'd like to do is this. I want to share that Paul's experience with the risen Christ changed his life. It's the risen Christ that changed Paul's life. And Paul was a destroyer of the Christian faith. Y'all remember the story, and that said they're stoning Stephen. I mean, that's got to be gruesome. They're stoning Stephen, and they piled all their cloaks around a young man, and he was there urging them on. That was Paul. He was there, and he fesses up to that. That was Paul. He was pulling from stoning Stephen. And so you got, oh my gosh, so this guy, he is a persecutor of the church, the Apostle Paul. And then what happens, he sees the risen Christ, and he becomes Christianity's greatest promoter and greatest teacher of the Christian faith because he encounters the risen Christ. See what I'm saying? And he comes. God knew him, and he appears to him. So listen to this. This is worth reading. And the thing of it is, Paul, three different times, gives his own testimony about this. So he verifies it. So let's just listen. Here's the story of, and this, Luke wrote this. Luke wrote Luke, but he also wrote Acts. And so listen to what Luke says about Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Just listen and follow along in your Bibles if you'd like to. "But Saul," that was his old name, Paul, "but Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." Now, I mean, this boy's just blowing out smoke, isn't he? I mean, this guy, I mean, he's up. This is not like, oh, you have your way, I have my way, we all get along. "Still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked the high priest for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way." Here's a little point, just a little subtitle. Belonging to the way. Do you know who the way is? It was the early name of Christians. They called them the way. I didn't know it, Christian. The name Christian came later. They called them the way because what it was a way of life. They're different. They're different. So they just called them, well, you know, the way. They do that stuff. You know, there's a couple of cults out there called the way. That wasn't this. This was a lifestyle, okay? So anyway, he says, you give me some letters so that if I find any belonging to the way, if I find any Christians, men or women, that I might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And I'm going to bring them back, same with Stephen, and we'll set this stuff straight. Now, as he went on his way and he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Now, there's another place that you'll get your assignment. Whole life change. And you know what Paul started doing? He started preaching right then. They said, this guy, all the Pharisees in Jerusalem, this guy's going nuts. You know, in fact, the Christians were afraid of him because they knew who he was. Hey, let me come in. I'm on your side. I've seen you. No, I don't trust nothing about you. You know, so it took him a while. But he started. But the point of it is, he saw the risen Christ. It's the risen Christ in which is the power. The center of Christianity, the risen Christ. I mean, your testimony. You know, I see Christians, we've talked about this before. I want to argue about everything. Don't argue with people that don't know Christ about Christian principles. That is foolish. You talk about the risen Christ. Because the risen Christ will change them. And then all the rest of it fall in place. Don't get the cart before the horse. So here we are. It's the risen Christ that changes things. Jesus risen. Amen? Amen. He has risen, and that changes things. Now, here's an important thing about this. Our resurrection is closely tied to Christ's resurrection. Okay? Our resurrection is closely tied to Christ's resurrection. Now, overhead, I want you to look at this overhead. 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now, we're still in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. It's Paul, great chapter about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Okay, in fact, he's been raised from the dead. What did he start in the first verses? Look, all these people saw him. They saw him. They saw. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead. Then this is really fascinating. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now that's key. Now, in the Old Testament, this would be really helpful to be a good Jewish kid about now. All right? Because what they did in the Old Testament, they would have to, they plant a crop. And so they would have to dedicate that crop and make a sacrifice for that crop. And they would get a bundle, boom, they have a wheat, and they get a little bundle like that, and they'd wave it, you know? And they give, and they call that the first fruits, the first fruit. And what the first fruit, you pick this up and you dedicate, see the first fruit? This is the show of the blessing of the crop, and what's going to come is the whole crop. I'm just giving you the first fruits, but this is a sign that the whole crop is coming. You see what I'm saying? They called it first fruits. It's connected. It's not separate. So the first fruit means the whole crop is coming behind it. It's very important. Jesus is the first fruits, meaning the crop is coming behind him, and it's going to look like the first fruits. See, if you got the wheat, this is what it looks like. We're going to get all the other crop. It's going to look just like that. So we got Jesus. He's a first fruit, and all the people that believe on him, they're going to make it look just like him. He's the first fruit, but we're going to look like him. He was resurrected. We're going to be resurrected, and we are resurrected because he was resurrected. Amen? It's him being resurrected that we get to be resurrected, and we have a vision of what the resurrection looks like because he was resurrected, and we know, oh man, that's how we're going to look like. That's what we're going to look like. And we're going, as Jesus goes into heaven, we're going to go into heaven with him. Because he's the first fruit. He showed us. And that's what this is. And so that word, don't just kind of skip over that. Well, hey, it's a verse. No. My goodness. He is the first fruit of those, everyone who's died. He died. First fruit. And now all the rest of the dead are coming right behind him into heaven. Amen? Everybody say amen. Amen. I mean, that is really, really powerful. So you see that. And two, the fruits, it's important to say that first fruit, the crop, looks like the first fruit. Okay? Okay, here's the first fruit, and then you got a whole bunch of weeds coming in. You know, no, the rest of the crop looks like, we're going to look like Jesus. We're holy and approved like Jesus because of what he did on the cross. He made us holy. But he's the first fruits. So you see this picture. So Christ's resurrection is proof of our resurrection. Now listen, that guy said, resurrection's not a big deal. Then that guy puts me thinking, my resurrection's not a big deal. And he says, no. Jesus' resurrection is a big deal, and it's proof of my resurrection. It's proof of your resurrection. So we believe in Jesus' resurrection. We believe in our resurrection. Amen? I should have thrown my Bible at that preacher. You know, made it seem. I just kind of slithered out. But it's like, oh my gosh, what are you telling these folks? So look at this. Look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 6:14. I have an overhead here. This is powerful. And God raised the Lord and will also raise up by his power. There you go. He raised the Lord. And it's all through Scripture. He raised the Lord by his power. Okay? And he's going to raise us up by his power. Same thing. What are you saying? Look what I did with Jesus. I can do the same for you. Jesus is the proof. That's how we know. Somebody said, well, how do you know? Because Jesus was risen. Well, if they didn't raise Jesus, well, I'm toast if they didn't raise Jesus. But I know he raised it. They couldn't find the body. People have seen him. Multitudes saw him. To this day, even the most crazy people can't come up and tell you, oh, well, we found Jesus' body. No, it's gone. It's gone. The Pharisees were like, oh, my God, we can't find this. And I got all these crazy disciples, and they're saying he's risen, and we don't know what to do with him. They say he's risen. Why didn't they just get the body and say, hey, here he is? It wasn't there. It wasn't there. See? I mean, it's just the logic of it. And you have these guys, and they're scared to death, and they're afraid they're going to get killed. And all of a sudden, they turned into many lions going out and evangelize the world. What was that? Because he saw the risen Christ. See? I mean, just logic. Just logic. So, we believe we're resurrected because Christ was resurrected. We put everything on that. Everything. Everything. Now, so here we have the resurrection. I mean, I'm going to ask you something. Is that not encouraging? Is that not encouraging? My goodness, of everything going on, that is encouraging. Look what I've done for you, you know. And we know it. And again, how do we know it? Because Christ was resurrected. Remember that. Because somebody, well, how do you? Because Christ was resurrected. Well, I don't believe. Well, you got an issue with Christ, not me. You go study that. That's your issue. I'm not going to argue with you. You study that. You look for that. I know. Plus, I met him. I talked to him. He fills me and he encourages me on top of that. Now, so here we are, the whole picture of like the risen Christ, and we know, have a confidence that we'll be resurrected. We'll be resurrected. Amen? Amen? Now, here is how Paul ends chapter 15. As he flows and he tells us all this. We have a overhead here, 1 Corinthians 15:58. The resurrection is also proof that this earth is not our home. It's also proof that heaven is our home. We're just passing through here. Heaven is our home. Now, if we think heaven is our home, and the only reason we think heaven is our home is because of the resurrection. That's it. That's the only reason we think heaven is our home. Oh, well, there's all good people, and they go to heaven. Don't bank on it. It's the resurrection that we know heaven is our home. And how we know heaven is because that's where Jesus is. Okay? And what did he say to the thief on the cross? The thief says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. He says, today, you'll be with me. Paradise. See? The resurrection. See? So that's an encouraging thing. So if heaven is our home and this is not our home, then he says, you ought to think different. This is what Paul's saying. You ought to think a little different. Here's how he closes it. Therefore, you should have an eternal view. I mean, when they in the Bible, like when they say therefore is a good word. Therefore, because everything I said, therefore, you know. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. What? Always abounding in what? In the work of the Lord, because heaven is your home. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is never in vain, because your work in the Lord has eternal reward from now on. It's never in vain. See, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor's not in vain. Good. It's good. Because we know where our home is. See, just a mindset. We know what's going on. Therefore, we make appropriate decisions. Okay? Based on what God tells us. Okay? And you've heard me say it, honey, I'm not with the other people. Okay, if you love Jesus, you ought to go here. If you love Jesus, you ought to do this. You ought to love Jesus. No. You read the word, and as Jesus speaks to you and leads you, that's what you are to do. You see what I'm saying? It's what Jesus shows you to do. How he directs you from the Word of God. Now, what I want to do is close this out. I don't have an overhead for this, but I was reading this, and I thought this fits so appropriately because in Hebrews, we have the author there is writing about an attitude on this world. And he's talking about, gosh, you had all these people before us and love the Lord, and, you know, and then he says, you should consider all these other people who have gone before you, and here's how you should live your life. Now, he tells us how we should live our life. So just listen to this. I'll go through it. It's Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Because if we've decided this is not our home, heaven is our home. It says this, therefore, son of a gun, same word. Therefore, because of everything else I just said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Now, see, that kind of covers it, doesn't it? Every weight. What is every weight? He didn't tell us. He didn't tell us what it is. What he's saying, everything that's getting in your way of doing what you're supposed to do. You know who figures that out? You. You're the one that figures it out. See, so that's how he approaches it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. What sin? You know, it's between you and Jesus. So here you go. Lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each individual in the race that's set out before you is what God shows you. So you run your race as God shows you. And so you run the race with endurance that's set before you. And this is how you keep on track. It says here, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now, pause there. For the joy who set before him endured the cross. Now I'm thinking, Wallace, I'm going to, like Ray, I'm going to crucify you. Now, for the joy set before you, you're going to endure this. I'm thinking, I don't know you're going to give me much joy to endure this thing. What was Jesus' joy that was set before him? Think. Our salvation. We're his joy. So the joy is set before him. My salvation, your salvation. Okay, I'll endure the cross. I'll endure it. Oh, that joy set before me. That's why I'm doing it for us. And I'm the first fruits resurrected. I'm going to bring them all with me. Wow. Wow. And so it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. You know what that means? I looked that up. What does that mean, despising its shame? It means a little account. But is that all I got to do? Nah, little account. That he just despises it. No, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. So, for the joy set before me, endured the cross, despising its shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where all of us are going to follow suit with him for all eternity. Perspective. Amen. It's the way it is. Perspective. So, what is our message? What is our message? The older I get, I don't want to argue with anybody about anything. I mean, it's just like, you know, including Christians. But it's like, read it. And one thing I like about preaching through the Word, somebody said, Wes, I don't agree with what you said there. I said, it's good, just read it. God bless you. Because what he tells you is the truth. All right? This is what I saw, but you could read it and see what God tells you. See what God tells you. But if people outside the church don't know Christ, you don't talk about all the stuff. Listen, what if you went up to your next door neighbor's a total heathen, doesn't love Jesus? I think you should give to our church 10%. How stupid is that? I'm telling you, the rest of the arguments are as stupid. What you have to do is receive Christ, commit your life to Christ, and then those things come into play that you disciple people. Amen? So here's the message. We got it right here. John 3:16. Have the overhead. This is it. See, let us run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Our motivation is the resurrection. The resurrection means that we do not perish. We have eternal life with the resurrected Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, what? Should not perish. Oh, Jesus, for the joy set before me. For the joy set before me. They won't perish. They won't perish. For the joy set before me. I'll endure the cross because they won't perish if I do. Believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's just pray and think about that and just think about, as we think about this, I open up and just pray it to close us up. Just think about the incredible position that you are individually by accepting Christ as your Savior, that if you were the only person alive, he would have died for you. You know, he loves you. He did something in your life to touch you that you believe. Something happened. Something happened that he touched you and you go, I believe. As the hand of God. That was the hand of God. And think about that. And then that should be a motivation. Okay, God, I want to know what race you've laid out for me. Now, the race you run is the one you're in. You know, I'm changing lanes right here. No, you stay in the lane you're in until God shows you a clear different direction. See, and he'll tell you. He'll tell you. So let's just think about that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. It's just incomprehensible that Jesus would die for us, that take his sin upon us, and that, Lord, just believing in him, we are forgiven. But God, this morning we rejoice. He is arisen. He is arisen. And that, Lord, we know because we believe in him, we will rise from the dead. rise from the dead. In fact, there's a place in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, you know, he says, I don't know which I'd rather do, to stay here or go right now and be with God. Jesus told the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. See, today, in one place the Bible says, Jesus goes, you'll never die. You'll shed your body and come be with me. See, the whole process changes because of the risen Christ, and we'll be with him for all eternity. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for that, and that we have a message of the resurrection, and we thank you for that, and we know that we will be with you and together for all eternity because of you. So we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, we stand up.